Good morning. I wanted to start off this morning with sharing with you how I came to be your speaker today. So, I typically attend the 9:30 service. About 3 months ago, I usually sit in the balcony, leaving one of these wonderful services, and I'm sure since the 11 o'clock service is trying to come in, you can relate. A little bit crazy out there. We've got people leaving, people coming, lots of conversation. It's a little bit of mayhem. And as I was trying to get to Dunkin' Donuts, Aunt Zanetta stopped me in the hall, in the narthex, and said, oh, will you talk to the United Methodist Women? And I said, oh, sure. Because working at the Family Life Center, I typically will talk about what I do and the things that we do in the community, really anywhere, anytime. So I thought, yeah, just let me know when. And off I went to Dunkin' Donuts. About a month later, Aunt Zanetta caught me in the same narthex with the same crowd of folks and said, oh, it'll be in September. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there, not a problem. Another month goes by. This time, I was actually in the narthex. There wasn't a lot of people there. And Aunt Zanetta came out, and she had a look of concern on her face, to put it mildly. And she said, Trish, Pastor wants to know what verse and the name of your sermon you're going to use. And I said, my what? Wait, what did you just say? And with this, someone came in and interrupted the conversation, and Aunt Zanetta had to get back here, and so I thought, okay, she's losing her mind. She's got me mixed up with somebody else. That's not what I do. So I just walked away thinking not much of it. I'm sure we'll clarify, not a big deal. The following Monday, I got an email from Lynn Preet at the office, and she said, Trish, Pastor wants to know the name of your sermon and the verse you're going to use. What? What do they know that apparently I don't know? Something's going on here. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone for a minute. So you know what? I'll talk to Pastor about it at our next meeting, and I was planning to see him within a day or two. So I see the pastor, and I say, Pastor, what is this? Why are they asking me? I'm speaking to the United Methodist Women. I'm not preaching. I'm not doing a service. And then he pulled out his wonderful little calendar, and there it was on September 22nd. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm preaching? I didn't agree to that. He chuckled. He thought it was funny. Never gave me an opportunity to back out. Just assumed I was going to do it. I said, well, Pastor, I'm going to have to pray on that. He said, oh, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and pray. So I went home, and I prayed. And I said to my husband, Ray, babe, I'm not equipped to do that. That's not what I do. I'm not prepared. I don't have the tools. Right? I mean, he's a great pastor, Pastor Kevin. I can't get up here and do what he does. Right? Yes. And my husband said, pray on it. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray on it. I don't have a verse. I don't have a title. I don't know what I'm going to say. And then Aunt Zanetta texted me, and she said, let's meet and talk about the service. And I said, good, I'm going to meet her, and I'm going to tell her I can't do it, and she can tell the pastor I'm not doing it. That was the plan. So I showed up at my meeting with Aunt Zanetta, and she came in with this. She said, oh, I just want you to know I have a title and a verse that you're going to use. And so here I stand before you this morning, with a title and a verse and a message. And I've often heard it said, if you want to have God laugh, make plans. Because it wasn't my plan to be here. But here I stand in front of all of you. And I thank you for the opportunity to do that. With that said, I'd like to start off with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each member of our congregation and the wonderful gifts that they share with one another in their daily lives. Father God, we ask for your continued guidance in all that we think, in all that we say, and in all that we do. Lord, help me to use words that are pleasing and glorifying to you, so each person hearing this message today will know your love, will know your mercy, and will know your grace. In your holy name, amen. So the United Methodist Women have a booklet of information that's readily available to anyone who's interested. If you'd like one, please grab one. Like I said, it's got lots of information about what they do, and we'd ask that you join the group. Okay, so I'm going to ask the men in the church just for a moment to put their hands over their ears, because you don't want to hear this. Because I'm talking to the women in the church, and I'm going to be real honest with you. So Colossians 3:18, wives shall submit to their husbands. That's a tough verse. That was a hard verse for me for a long time, for a very long time, if we're being honest, wives. Yes, 3:19 talks about husbands shall love their wives, but submit. There's something about that word, submit. So I just wanted to put it out there. Now, I'm not going to preach on that one. I'm not talking about that one. I just wanted to let you know and have you feel the struggles there. Now, 19 again talks about husbands will love their wives. So that's a good one. And 20 is a really good one, because 20, for all of you young people in here, says, children shall obey their parents, and by extension shall obey their grandparents and any other authority figure, right? So any parental figure. So we like those. So I've done wives, and I've got children, so I've got some folks who are happy in here, right? But really, this message is about verse 17. Whatever you do, which, by the way, I got this from the Amplified Bible. Whatever you do, no matter what it is in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work from the soul. Put your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. So when I first heard the title, The Power of Reaching Out, I thought of the woman who reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. She reached out. Now, she was hemorrhaging for 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time, a long, painful time. She probably was very weak, very ill-looking, but she was determined. She was persistent. To reach his hem, she was likely at the bottom, because the hem is at the bottom of people's clothes, right? Of this cloak. She was at the bottom. The Bible tells us that there was a crowd of people. And this crowd of people was a little rambunctious. The Bible says it almost crushed Jesus, right? So they were wanting to be right next to him, breathe his air, stand beside him. And she was at the bottom, just trying to reach a piece of his clothing. I can relate to that woman. Right? I'm a determined woman. I want to make sure that I do things. But we often don't relate to the crowd. And sometimes we are the crowd. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with reaching for Jesus. There's nothing wrong for wanting to be near Jesus, right? If he were to appear right now, we would want to be next to him. We would want to breathe the same air and get close to him and have his aura on us. We want to pursue Jesus. But now, in that pursuit, are we shoving, shunning, pushing, ignoring the unhealthy ones, the lost ones, the unchurched ones? Do we do that today? We don't often see ourselves clearly. And sometimes we give ourselves nice little sayings to help us get through things. Things like, I'm not prepared. I'm not educated enough. I don't have the experience to do that. Oh, I already did that back then. I don't have to do it again. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what to do. There are others who'll do it. There are others who are better equipped. The truth is, reaching out to people is a daily activity. We should be doing it every day. I recently read a post on Facebook from a friend of mine, and she described how she was participating in a walk for families who have survived suicide. And she was doing the walk with a friend of hers whose son had died by suicide. And so they were walking the Flagler Beach Bridge. And there was many folks who were participating. And folks who walk in walks, they do it at different times. Not everyone walks the same speed. So as they were going over the bridge, they noticed a young man at the top of the bridge. And he was just gazing out at the water. He wasn't walking. But when they walked by, they kind of felt like something wasn't right. Wasn't sure what it was, but just had that feeling. And so several of them said, hey, how you doing? As they were walking. Just kind of a quick check-in and kept going. Easily half a dozen people said, hey, how are you doing? Hello, to the young man at the top. The final one actually stopped and engaged the young man in conversation. And it turns out that that young man, unbeknownst to him, that there was a suicide awareness walk going on, was contemplating jumping from our very bridge. And the person who stopped engaged him in conversation, and he did not jump. He did not jump. That person who stopped was reaching out. When that person went for that walk, I'm pretty confident they didn't walk out of here saying, I'm going to save somebody's life today. But they reached out, and they let God use them. They weren't afraid of it. We each have unique and individual gifts. God has given them to us, and he's given them to us to share. Now, I'm going to say this. My mom is in this service, and my mom can tell you that from the time I could talk, I didn't stop. I'm a talker. It's one of my gifts. Almost to the detriment of other people around me sometimes. People have to remind me, okay, let somebody else talk. I'm not kidding. She'll tell you. She used to say it to me all the time. And now I have one of those kids. Actually, I have two of them. But the point is that we want to share our gifts, even if we don't always know how to share them. Then you have wonderful pastors and Anzanettas in your life that get you out there, right? But what's interesting is as I was preparing for this service, I came across a story, I dare say a joke, that I want to share. And it was about a husband and a wife who went to a fair together. And as they were walking around the fair, they had airplane rides available. And the wife said, oh, I love airplanes and I so want to take a ride. And the husband said, let's go. And so they walked over to the pilot, and the pilot said, it's $50 a ticket. And the wife said, oh, no, I'm not spending $50 on a ticket for each of us to go. And the husband said, okay. And the pilot said, let's make a deal. If I take you up in the plane and you're completely silent, then it will be free. If I take you up in the plane and you make any sound, then you will pay full fare. And so the husband said, okay, and the wife said, okay, and so up they went. And so they get in the airplane, and he's going, the pilot's going, and he gets down. They get down from the airplane, and the pilot says, oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe it if I wasn't part of it, that you were silent the entire time. And the wife said, oh, me either, and it was really tough, especially when my husband fell out. So here's the thing. She certainly cared more about that money than the husband. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we concerned about? Are we concerned about the money? Or the husband? Or what else are we concerned about? Have you considered the number of civic and social organizations there are? There's a lot of them. The Family Life Center, the American Red Cross, the Leo's Club, healthcare organizations, the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club. I mean, we can go on and on and on with the number of clubs here, and they do good work, especially here in Flagler County. But no matter how much good these groups do, they do not provide for one fundamental need that each and every person on the face of this earth has, a need to have a relationship with God. And this is where you step in. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus said of himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." How can individuals have a relationship with God if they don't know him? How many times do we pass Jesus in our daily lives? How many times did we pass him on the way to church today? And we know him. Today, I want us to think about reaching out to others and ministering to them. And reaching out is an action word. Movement is involved. So let's get back to the woman reaching out for Jesus' hem. She felt the cure immediately. She felt the healing immediately. And the Bible says he felt it immediately as well. He knew immediately. You know who didn't feel anything immediately? The crowd. The crowd felt nothing. But when we reach out, we feel it. When we reach out to someone else, we feel the change. Perhaps you have never thought much about it, but you have an eternal bucket. An eternal bucket of love that can't be emptied. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, and it's produced by the Holy Spirit, who is God and eternal. Galatians 5:22, 23 tells us all about the fruit of the Spirit. When you reach out to another person, you are reminding them that they have value and they have worth. By reaching out, we simply say, you are important. You are cared about. You are loved by God and I. You are prayed for, and I am here for you. When you look around, you will see people who need encouragement and empowerment, people who are lost, people who are hurting, people who are discouraged, and people who are backsliding. They need someone to reach out and touch their lives with God's love. They need someone to help them find their way back to Jesus. And that someone could be you. When you share your love of Jesus Christ with others, they also need to know that you love them beyond their physical disease and sinful flaws. They need to know that you see a person who is made in the image of God, a person just like you, a person Christ died for to set free. Matthew 25, 35 through 40, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me." People need to see Matthew 25, 35 through 40 active and alive and well in our lives today. Is Palm Coast United Methodist Church just a place for gathering on Sundays to have some fellowship, sing songs of praise, have a quick prayer, a message, and then just go home? Or do we want more people from our community praising and worshiping God, not just in this building, but in our employment places, with our civic groups, in Walmart, in Target? Are we an inward-only church, or are we reaching out church? Each of you have been blessed with one of God's many, many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. Use your gift well. Remember, it's in the service of God, and He is the one that is watching. Thank you so much, and have a great week. Thank you.